Well, good morning. I'd like to welcome all of you here to worship our great and triune God this morning on the second Sunday in Lent. And as many of you have probably already heard from our prayer chain email, Pastor Keene will not be here this morning. He was able to go to his doctor on Friday, and after having his blood levels tested, the doctor was shocked that John was not still in the hospital. Apparently, he should have been. And the doctor elected not to readmit him on the strict condition that John would go home and do nothing but rest and come back the first thing on Monday morning. And so that is where John is. He'll be worshiping our great God from his own home this morning. Though I'm sure indeed with us in spirit, and we are privileged to have our missionary and longtime member Dave Haas, who will be filling the pulpit and bringing the Word of God to us this morning. And on that note, just like last week, our bulletin was already printed before we discovered that John would not be with us. And so the second scripture lesson that is printed in your bulletin is not correct. And instead, Dave Haas will be preaching from Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. And so when it comes to the second scripture lesson this morning, that's what I'll be reading from. And since it's not printed in your bulletin, you can follow along in your own Bibles if you brought them. We do have pew Bibles in the racks in front of you. And so as we get started, I do want to call your attention to a couple things. First of all, there is a tan communication card, and if you would be so kind as to fill that out and to put it in the offering plate when it comes, that would be greatly appreciated. And like always, on the back side of this card, there's an opportunity for you to write down any prayer requests that you have. And we do delight in praying for the needs of this congregation. Also in the bulletin, there are a number of announcements. I do want to make sure all of you are aware that tonight we do have our Sunday evening program here at the church, which begins at 5:30. And there are programs for everyone, elementary age children, middle school and high school students, and also adults. And in lieu of John's absence, Dave Haas will be with us again tonight, sharing for the adults that come this evening. I also do want to call your attention to the fact that there is a youth communicants class that will be coming up, and the dates are listed in the bulletin. And this Tuesday, Sylvia will be playing at the Bach Birthday Bash. So if you're available, we do invite you to attend that. Of most importance this morning, we did want to call your attention to our church picnic that is coming up on April the 2nd, just a couple weeks. And one thing that we do ask would be very helpful for us is if you are indeed planning to attend, if you would please RSVP to Jackie Tonas with their contact information listed below. That would be very helpful as we prepared to bring food. And then also of great importance is on Easter Sunday morning, we're going to be having an Easter breakfast, and we do need some helpers to help set up and to help clean up, to put the building back into its normal format after the breakfast. And there is no Sunday school on Easter morning, so for those of you that typically stay for Sunday school, you'll have all this extra time to stick around and help out. But if you would at least make that known to us that you are willing to stick around and help, that would be wonderful. And finally, I do want to call your attention to a seminar that is coming up. It's going to be hosted by Holy Trinity Presbyterian Church, a sister congregation in South Tampa. And they're having Jerry Bridges come down, and he's going to be speaking on the topic of, can a truly loving God crucify his own son? I'm not sure if you've ever encountered conversations with people who have declared the fact of God sending His Son to die for our sins is paramount to cosmic child abuse. And so Jerry Bridges will be addressing that topic. I think it'll be a very interesting evening for all who are able to attend. So do make note of that. However, for this morning, we have gathered here to worship our great God. And so during the prelude, let's take this time to prepare our hearts to worship. Let's try to remove from ourselves any distractions that would keep us from being focused upon Jesus, our Savior. I do also ask that you would take any electronic devices and turn them off or put them on mute or vibrate mode so that we would not distract anyone from worshiping our great God. Good morning. Our call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 99, the first three verses. This is a responsive reading. The Lord reigns, let the nations tremble. He sits enthroned between the cherubim, let the earth shake.
Praise the Lord in Zion, He is exalted over all nations.
Let them praise your great and awesome name, He is holy. And would you stand as we sing our opening hymn, number 173, Praise Him, Praise Him. you pray with me? Father God, you are over and above all things, and you are exalted over all the nations. And we've gathered here this morning to worship you. We praise you for sending your Son Jesus to be our Redeemer. We praise you for sending your Holy Spirit to apply to us the redemption accomplished by Christ. And therefore we desire, Father, that you would receive our worship this morning. For we approach you by faith in our Savior Jesus, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit. You are one God, now and forever. Amen. Following along in your bulletins, Christian, what do you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Our first scripture lesson this morning comes from Psalm 41. It's for the director of music, a psalm of David. Blessed is he who has regard for the weak. The Lord delivers him in times of trouble. The Lord will protect him and preserve his life. He will bless him in the land and not surrender him to the desire of his foes. The Lord will sustain him on his sick bed and restore him from his bed of illness. I said, O Lord, have mercy on me. Heal me, for I have sinned against you. My enemies say of me in malice, when will he die and his name perish? Whenever one comes to see me, he speaks falsely while his heart gathers slander. He then goes out and spreads it abroad. All my enemies whisper together against me. They imagine the worst for me, saying, a vile disease has beset him. He will never get up from the place where he lies. Even my close friend, whom I trusted, who has shared my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. But you, O Lord, have mercy on me. Raise me up that I may repay them. I know that you are pleased with me, for my enemy does not triumph over me. In my integrity, you uphold me and set me in your presence forever. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. The word of the Lord. And if you're able, I invite you now to kneel before the Lord in prayer. Father God, we do praise you for your grace, at the same time acknowledging that we indeed are sinners. Your word says that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Therefore, Father, we ask that you would please forgive us for our stubborn unpliability to your revealed will. Forgive us for setting our love on things of this world rather than on things above, where our treasure is and where Christ sits at your right hand. Forgive us for knowing the good we ought to do and then not doing it. Forgive us for being
unfaithful stewards of all that you have given us, our time, our talents, our finances. And so, Father, in this brief time of silence, we confess these and countless other sins to you. And Father, by your great mercy and through Jesus Christ, would you forgive us? And would you hear us as we pray together? Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord, union. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, and it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen.
And hear the good news. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 and 7 state, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon." And this is good news.
Thank you.
And like I mentioned earlier, our second scripture lesson is changed from what is printed in the bulletin. We'll be reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. You can follow along in your own Bible or a pew Bible in front of you. Beginning in verse 11. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourself to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." The word of the Lord. Let's look to the Lord in time of congregational prayer. Father, indeed, with grateful hearts for your unending and your infinite grace, we continue to worship you through prayer by humbly bringing to you our requests and our petitions. And we submit ourselves to you and to your will. And Father, first of all, we do pray for our government. We pray for those who are in authority over us. We pray for their good. We pray that you would give them wisdom. And we pray that you would be glorified through their service, whether it be on a city level, state, or federal. Father, we also think of other countries in this world. We do lift up to you the people of Japan right now and pray, Lord, that you would sustain them in this difficult time of trial. Father, we know statistically there are not many believers in Japan. And so we pray that for your church in that country, that you will raise them up. Father, that you will enable them to boldly proclaim the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that through this terrible event, that you would call many to yourself. And that your church would meet the needs of those who are suffering. And Father, in fact, we pray for all people. Your word declares that you desire all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. And therefore we ask that you would change people's hearts, that you would bring new life to those who hear your gospel. Would you be with us as we share your gospel with our coworkers, with friends, with neighbors, with family members who do not know you? Father, we pray that you would be with your church. We pray that your church would be alert and watchful. Would you protect her from the enemy and by your Spirit empower your church to charge the gates of hell, forsaking everything in order to magnify the name of Jesus on the earth. Father, we also pray for missionaries whom you have called and sent over the face of the whole earth. Specifically, this morning we pray for our missionaries. We pray for Dave Hawes as he serves with the Navigators. Lord, would you bless him and bear fruit through his ministry. We pray for the Vanderplugs as they serve you through the avenue of Wycliffe Bible Translators. Would you sustain them and be with them? And Father, we also pray for Jeff Lee, who serves you
on the campus of USF. I pray that you would bless him. And also, as we prayed last week, would you be with him and a number of college students who have given up their spring break to serve you in Jamaica? Would you give them a safe travel home? And Father, for those who are suffering, we pray for our pastor, John. Lord, would you bring healing to his body? I pray that you would help him to truly rest. And Father, would you be with his family, and that your presence would draw near to them, that you would bring comfort and peace. And we ask that you bring a full and swift recovery to John, that you would bring him back among us. Father, we also lift up Preston Nishaw and Raquel Fernandez, his father, who have both recently learned that they have cancer. I pray that you would bring healing to their bodies. I pray that you'd be with the doctors and guide them as they consider the options of surgery and whatnot to treat this cancer. Father, would you bring comfort and peace and courage to these men? Father, we also lift up to you Darby White. We lift up to you Randa Gravanti's mom, and also the little infant Wesley Hamilton. Father, would you strengthen these? Would you bring full and complete healing to their bodies? And Father, we also pray for Marion Smith. Father, it appears that she is nearing the end of her life, and we pray that you would show kindness and mercy to her. I pray, Lord, if indeed you are calling her home, that that this would be a time of rejoicing, where she gets to come home to her Savior. Pray that you'd be with Ken and Susan and the rest of her children during this time. And Father, we pray all these things in the wonderful and beautiful name of Jesus, always remembering that there is salvation in no one else, and that there is no other name in all of heaven for people to call on to save them. So, Father, we close by praying the prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Let's respond by standing and singing hymn number 345, Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken.
Thank you.
Our offertory statement this morning comes from Luke chapter 17, verses 7 through 10. Suppose one of you had a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Would he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, "Come along now and sit down to eat"? Would he not rather say, "Prepare my supper, get yourself ready and wait on me while I eat and drink. After that, you may eat and drink"? Would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, "We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty." Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we recognize this morning that none of us have done anything above and beyond what you have asked. And in fact, we have not even done what you have asked of us. None of us have earned any favor before you due to our own works. Rather, everything that we receive is a result of your abundant grace. And so, Father, we give you thanks and praise for your generosity and your mercy and your grace that you pour out upon us. And we also give up to you a portion of what you have blessed us with. We ask that you would receive these tithes and these offerings that we bring before you this morning. Would you bless and multiply these gifts, that they would be used to your glory? And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Would you stand for the singing of the doxology?
Well, almost everyone's left me up here, so I'm feeling a little bit naked. I do have thank you, folks, for staying, though. And also, I want to start out and I have a confession. I just want to get my heart clean right now. And the confession is I didn't sing. This is a wrong book. And I got up and I just... And I don't sing very well anyway, but with the wrong book, it's really bad. So I'm putting this down over here. It was pretty bad. So, and also I kind of feel funny standing up here. I have to tell you, it's just okay. Well, it's amazing how God orchestrates things in your life. He orchestrated this morning far more than you can realize, but you'll get to see in just a few minutes just how good God is with the message that I'm going to share with you. And it's a message that God gave me a few months ago, actually. So I'm sharing with you my devotional time with the Lord. And so I've got papers everywhere, so you're going to see, kind of papers flying all over the place. The world is really in a mess, isn't it? I mean, we've got in Japan, the tsunami, earthquake in New Zealand, the nuclear reactor in Japan. Not to mention wars and fighting now. We've bombed Gaddafi. You know about all that stuff. I haven't kept up with it. But it seems like we're in a pretty big mess. And yet, it seems we also kind of separate our spiritual lives and our political life, or maybe our work lives. It seems like we kind of segment our lives. I think that was true of a fellow by the name of Marcus Luttrell. Now, I'm going to wake you guys up every once in a while, so just get prepared. But this guy, Marcus Luttrell, was a Navy SEAL. Some of you probably read the book, Lone Survivor. Well, I've been around some Special Forces guys, and they are tough. They are just tough as nails. And this Marcus Luttrell trained as a SEAL. In fact, the first third of the book is about his training and how miserable it was. The second third of the book is how the guys were on a mission in Afghanistan. They were on a top of a mountain. And you think, now why in the world would SEALs who are used to the ocean go to the top of a mountain? Well, one of the Taliban bad guys was up there. And after numerous days of trying to spot this guy, they had him spotted. And in fact, they spent hours after being inserted on the top of this mountain, kind of creeping up under the bushes and everything, hidden in order to take the guy out, kill him. And as they were undercover, a group of shepherds with a herd of goats came by. And they landed right on top of one of the guys. And, of course, the SEALs jumped out from out of cover and everything, and they said, well, now we've got a choice. We either kill these guys so we can take out the bad guy, or we let them go. And they'll turn us in to the Taliban. And Luttrell makes a statement in his book. He says, I think we must all be Christians because we decided that we, even though under the rules of engagement, which are pretty tough against us, we could kill those guys because they were working for the Taliban. We'd seen them working with the Taliban. We knew they were working for the Taliban. We could kill them, but we decided that we were killers but not murderers. And so they decided to let the guys go. And immediately, they knew that if they let them go, that the Taliban would come after them. More than 200 Taliban soldiers came after them. And the last third of the book is how those four SEALs, how three of them were killed trying to escape the Taliban. And one was left, one lone survivor. And he was a survivor over and over, so many different situations because of two things. One was because of an Afghani tribe, a small village of people, that there's a thing in Afghanistan that says if you choose to protect someone, that your entire village is liable for that person's life. And so for whatever reason, they chose to protect this American soldier. And even though the village was surrounded by the Taliban, by more than 200 Taliban, they chose to risk their lives to protect that one soldier. The Taliban actually even wrote a letter to him and said, we will destroy your village if you don't turn over the American soldier. And I think it was kind of like General McAuliffe at the Battle of the Bulge, whenever the Nazis had the American forces surrounded. He just said, nuts. The leader of the village said, forget you guys, sorry. Loci is what they invoked. And actually, as they were attacking the village, this some of the men were taking this Navy SEAL out, and one of the elders of the village had walked 40 miles to the closest American base, and a group of Rangers were there and kind of popped up like you see in the commercials. They kind of popped up and said, oh, hi, we're here for you. And they saved the guy. By the way, they also bombed all the Taliban around the village to protect the village. More than 20 men lost their lives saving the one lone soldier. But more than 300 people had gathered at that soldier, at Marcus Luttrell's home, more than 300 for days and day after day. Weeks went by, more than 300 people gathered to pray for Marcus Luttrell. It was an amazing show of faith. In Luke 17, I'm going to begin actually with verse 3. I'm going to walk you through a few passages here before we get to verse 11. In Luke 17, the Bible says, pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him, and if he sins against you seven times in the day and turns to you seven times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. Pay attention to yourselves. Then in verse 6, he says, if you had faith like the grain of a grain of mustard seed, you could say to the mulberry tree, be uprooted and be planted in the seed, and it would obey you. And then in verse 10, he says, so you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, we are unworthy servants. We've only done what was our duty. Let's pray. Father, in the midst of a world really messed up, would you help us to see faith? Would you give us the courage to be faithful? Would you give us hearts that are thankful and hearts that are humble? Help us to see just more than what's required of us, what's our duty. Help us to see a little bit about our hearts and what you desire. In Jesus' name, amen. So, on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing between Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered a village, he was met by 10 leopards who stood at a distance, and they lifted up their voices saying, "Have mercy on me." Wake up in the back. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Now, they didn't even get close to him, and they were saying, "Jesus, have mercy." They didn't say, "Hey, heal us, Jesus." They respected that they were lepers, and they were saying, "We need mercy." And I would say to you today, we as a country, we as a world, we need mercy. We need it in a big way. They lifted up their voices and said, "Have mercy on us." Jesus, Master. And when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. And then one of them, when he saw he'd been healed, he came back. He fell at Jesus' feet. He was praising God with a loud voice. And he was saying, "Thank you, Jesus." And Jesus looks down at him and he says, "There were 10 of you, right? What happened to the other 9? Oh, and you're the stinking foreigner? But go your way, your faith made you whole." I think that the two things I want to talk to you about today are the characteristics of faith and then the choices of faith. Characteristics of faith and the choices of faith. The characteristics. I think there are three characteristics. If I fall, just come, somebody come pick me up. The characteristics of faith. The first one is courage. I think a characteristic of faith is courage. These guys had been rejected all their lives. They were lepers. They were unclean. They were the kind of guys that you didn't just walk up to. If you did, you were unclean. And so here were guys that had spent their entire lives, as far as we know, being rejected, being outside of the village. They couldn't come to the worship service. They were outsiders. They'd suffered for years. They were rejected by society. And yet, whenever they saw Jesus, they recognized him. They said, as Master, Master, have mercy on us. They cried for mercy. And Jesus didn't say, "I'm going to heal you." Jesus said, "Go show yourself to the priest." And as they're going along, you know, mile number one, mile number two, and they get over to Danny and they said, "Oh, I don't stink anymore." Leprosy stunk. I can see the flesh in my hand. It's not rotting. My face. I can feel my face. One of them says, "Guys, I got to go tell the guy thanks. I'll see you guys." And he goes back. And when he goes back, he doesn't say, "Hey, gee, thank you, Jesus, boy, you really did a good job. I really like this new body." No. The second characteristic was, he comes back and he falls at Jesus' feet and he says, "Praise God! Thank you! Thank you, Jesus!" That was humility. That was humility. That was an act of faith. The second characteristic of faith, I believe, is humility. It's saying that, yes, God is bigger than I am. I recognize, I praise Him, and I worship God. It is no longer about me. It's no longer about my body. Thank you, Jesus, for making me whole. But it's now about praising you. Thankfulness. Thankfulness that leads to humility. Or maybe humility comes before thankfulness. I don't know. But I do know this, that they're connected together. Thankfulness and faith. Thankfulness and humility. They're connected. Now, if I were to say to you, okay, Bill, I want you to grow some faith. Come on, right now. Grow faith. Come on, a little bit more. Bill, I know you're a little older now, but come on, grow the faith. How do you know if the faith has grown? You can't tell. I can't look at Bill and say, oh yeah, boy, his faith has grown. Because he gets on a plane and goes to Afghanistan to preach the gospel, does that mean his faith's grown? I don't know. He might be a soldier. It took courage for the man to go back, to leave his group, his friends. It took courage for him to turn away. It took thankfulness for him to realize that, boy, he's not just done something with my body. I need to thank him. He's done something with my heart. He returned to Jesus. He praised God. He fell at his feet. And he thanked Jesus. Let me tell you how that applies to me. In that passage that I read, so when you also have done all that you were commanded, you say we are unworthy servants. We've only done what was our duty. Whenever I was asked to go to the military ministry, I obeyed. God made it very clear. It was one of the clearest callings I've ever experienced in my life, through the Scripture, through counsel, and through two fleeces that I put out. It's very clear for me to obey leaving the collegiate ministry. But I left, my friends. I left 32 years of being on staff with collegiate ministry, 40 years of working with college students, to go to the military ministry. I obeyed. When I read this passage a few weeks ago, I said, yes, sir, I obeyed. But the thought came to mind, are you thankful? Not really. No, I'm not really thankful. Wait, you don't have much faith on this thing, do you? What do you believe in me for? Okay. No, I wasn't thankful. You know what happened whenever I came back and I said, okay, Jesus, I trust you. It was like I had a shower over my heart. God gave me a love for those guys. A love for the military guys. Okay, students are important. So are soldiers. I had to return to Jesus. I had to return to my command. It wasn't enough to do just what He had commanded me. God had to do something in my heart. And it started with thankfulness. It also started with humility. I'm starting over. I'm in the military ministry. I'm starting over. I had 32 years of staff. I mean, people, I was a senior staff with the collegiate guys. I'm kind of like a baby with the military guys. I know nothing. It was very humbling. It wasn't until I could praise God and thank God that God changed my heart. I was just like this unworthy servant. Courage, thankfulness, and humility. Well, let me go on. When Jesus said to the man, he says, "Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Rise, go your way, your faith made you well." Jesus healed all 10. Only one man was commended for his faith, the man who was thankful. But do you know what? When you look up that made you well, your faith made you well, I looked it up in a lot of different versions and the Greek and all that, and it says your faith saved you. He healed 10, but he commended one for his faith. Faith that saved him. And just a few verses later, he says, "The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' for behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you." And then just in verse 17:33, "Whoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life will keep it." There's something about thankfulness in our circumstances, in our pain, in our suffering. There's something about it. It takes humility. It takes courage. But there's something about it that God uses to bring healing in our souls. Healing to our hearts. Thankfulness shows your faith. One of the mantras of the Rangers is that no man left behind. And some of you may have seen this recent Congressional Medal of Honor winner. His name is Salvatore Giunta. Close, I'm not Italian. But the story is, I just read a book about his unit. In the Coringill Valley, this ranger base was being overrun, and the Taliban would do anything for alive soldiers. And so they were being overrun by, our guys were being overrun by lots of the Taliban. And in the middle of the fight, they'd sent a rocket-propelled grenade into where the staff sergeant was, and he was blown back into some bushes with wounds, multiple wounds in his body. And he woke up just in time to see two of his men being drug off by Taliban. They were wounded and being dragged down the side of this mountain. Well, the staff sergeant, even though he was wounded, got up and went, and he killed the Taliban guys and drug his own men back. And for that, he got a Congressional Medal of Honor. And whenever they interviewed him, they said, "So, how does it feel to be recognized as the bravest of the brave?" And he says, "I didn't do this to be brave. I did not do this to be a hero. I was doing what any soldier would do. I was just doing my job." One of the things that the Marines say is that, and this is not very, very public, but one of the reasons why they're such tough fighters is some of the guys say, "I'm already a dead man." And what I would say to you is that kind of commitment, I'm not trying to lift up the military, but I am saying this, that we need to have that kind of commitment. That kind of commitment, not to an organization, but to the King. We need to live where there's no man left behind. We need to be willing to be dead men, to prostrate ourselves before the king and say, I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. That's why he says, whoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life will keep it. That's the choice part. So there's character, three characteristics of faith, but there's also a choice of faith. The choice of faith is, are we going to live? Are we going to genuinely live to serve the King? Are we going to make Jesus genuinely the one that we serve, not segmenting our lives, but to live for Him? It's not about guilt. It's about thankfulness. He saved us. Just like He saved that man, all 10 of those lepers, He healed them. He healed us. We ought to be men and women of courage. It's willing to leave the warm friendships in one sense and return to Jesus and say, praise God, thank you, Jesus, in humility before Him. That's the choice. If you try to save your life, you're going to lose it. If you're already dead men, if we're already men that He's purchased, then we will have life. I said that I would share with you just how good God is. I'm almost done. In Haiti, I heard Pastor Ray Ortiz of the Crystal River PCA Church speak at a missions conference. We were at both of the missions conference in Colorado Springs. And one of the things that he shared was that in Haiti, that after the earthquake came, that there were all kinds of songs that the Christians believed. Sang. And one of the songs, I can't sing it, so don't even think you're going to hear a tune. But it kind of went like this. When the earthquake comes and the buildings fall down, Jesus will never, never, never. Jesus will never, never, never. Jesus will never, never, never forsake you. The Rangers might sing, when the Taliban shoot my buddy and we're overrun, Jesus will never, never, never forsake me. Whenever the economy is falling in the trash, whenever the nuclear reactor blows up, whenever the earthquake comes and the tsunami wipes out Florida, Jesus will never, never, never. Jesus will never, never, never. Jesus will never, never forsake you. Now, to believe that, to hold on to that, characteristics of faith, courage, thankfulness, humility. The choice of faith, try to protect your life, build a big, strong house. But when the earthquake comes, try to protect your life, you'll lose it. You give up your life, you'll save it. We don't give it up to just anyone. We give it to the King. This is how God was good from the bulletin. I want to end with this. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That's why I'm suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I've believed and am convinced that He's able to guard what I've entrusted to Him for that day. That was the passage. Is supposed to be read. But listen to this. Gentle is God's way and humble is God's heart. God's love will light the way that leads to peace. Surely you shall see God's goodness and God's grace. Rest now in God's embrace. Do not be afraid. God heals the broken heart. Through grief and disbelief, God still remains God, and God alone will be your soul's true rest. fall in the arms of God. You're not alone, for God is always near. Come place your doubt and fear within God's care. God will give you rest and soothe your weary soul. Dwell in the heart of God. We are just like the leper. We need to be people of courage, people of thankfulness, and people of humility that worship the King. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you were willing to die for us in order that we might have life. Thank you that you'll never forsake us. Even in the midst of all the stuff, the battles, and it is a battle, it's a spiritual battle. But it's also a physical battle, and a financial battle, and an emotional battle, an intellectual battle. We got all kinds of relational battles. Lord, I pray that you do something with our hearts, that we could genuinely see just a little bit of what it means to be restored, to be healed, to be saved. God, would you give us the faith just to return to you, to fall down, to give praise to God, to worship you, to thank you. And to be like you in humility. We didn't do it of our own selves. You did it. You saved us. And so, God, we commit our lives to you. Thank you, Jesus, for saving us. Praise you, Jesus, for saving us, for healing us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Dave. If you would stand as we sing our closing hymn this morning, number 600, He Leadeth Me, O Blessed Thought, and we'll sing verses 1 and 4 only, just verses 1 and 4. Once again, we do invite you to remain with us for a time of coffee and snacks in the Snyder Building, directly behind the sanctuary. And following that at 10:45, we'll have a Bible study for all ages and receive the benediction from our Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace. Amen.